start off in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Continue to pray for our brother Gary Schnicky. He's at the rehab hospital in Billings. And Paul will be going and visiting him this week. So if you have cards or things you want to send along, please feel free to get those to Paul, and he'll take those on his way to go visit Gary. But Gary's doing well. So his brain just has to relearn how to control his left arm and left leg, and hopefully that'll be done by hunting season. And we're good to go. So. All right, as we come to God's Word, let's go for him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do lift up our brother Gary. We are thankful for him. We're thankful for all the things that he's done for this body. And so we just ask for his healing. We do thank you that he has a good attitude, and we just pray that you would just be with him as he relearns how to do things. And we just pray that quickly he would, that he'd be able to come back home. But we're thankful for medical technology and the different things that are able to help. So we just pray for that, and just pray for our time as we look at your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to talk about treasure. What it is that we treasure. And so in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus brings up this subject and this thought of treasure. And it will go along with what we look at in Malachi. So Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we think of this thought of treasure, what it is that we think is important, what it is that we are seeking to obtain, what is it that we are spending our time and our resources to obtain and to protect. That's our treasure. And so as Jesus says here, that there is a spiritual treasure, there's a heavenly treasure that is far better than anything here on this earth, and to pursue certainly a relationship with God and living in obedience to him and in righteousness, and certainly that thought of ministry and impacting others for Christ, those things can never be stolen, can never be taken away. And so Jesus encourages us to do that. Now certainly, as we live on this earth, there are earthly things, there's stuff that we have and God has blessed us with, and we have a responsibility to use those wisely in order to take care of our families and take care of needs and those things. But how we use that stuff, how we use those things, how we spend our time reflects and reveals what we truly, truly treasure. It reflects our true desires and the priorities of our lives. And I want you to consider this thought before we get into Malachi. And that is that God treasures people. God treasures people. That's what he treasures. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. We see God uses this specific thought of treasure. He says, "This is what I treasure." Exodus 19 verse 3 says, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen that I did what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine.'" So here's God's promise to Israel as they're entering into a covenant, and they're out Mount Sinai here. And God says, if you live in obedience, certainly to this thought, you'll be a special treasure. You will be something that I I treasure, that I desire and love and care about. And so that's what God says to Israel. He repeats that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He repeats that thought of, you are a treasure for me in the house of Jacob and the house of Israel. And then turn to Psalm 135. We read this in our scripture reading. Because God says here that he treasures his people. Psalm 135. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel, for his special treasure." And so that's the thought here as we come to then to Malachi. So you can turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And so here's this context of this thought of treasure and what it is we love and what we desire above all else. And as God approaches this thought of treasure, and as he's talking to his people, he's going to tell them, "You have robbed me. You've robbed from God." And they've robbed from God in the way of what they have treasured, what they've desired. And we go back to verse 7, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Yet from days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" So God gives this call to his people to return, to repent. And they're like, "We haven't gone anywhere. What are you talking about, God? What do you mean repent? Or what do you mean return? We're right here. We're doing everything you've asked of us to do." And God has already gone through a numerous ways where they've been unfaithful. But that's their thought. That's their attitude here. And so God's now going to address that and talk about that, which then brings us to verse 8. And here our first point here is a heart that treasures stuff. A heart that treasures stuff. Verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed? In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." For my family, we're used to hearing this passage in Swahili. Because every Sunday, before they would take, like I said, the offering box would be up front, and before they would take the offering, they would read this passage. I think just to guilt people into giving their offerings. Bring all the tithes, bring all the offerings. And so every Sunday we would hear this passage. And the unique thing about Tanzania is a lot of people don't have money, so they bring everything. Hey, they bring rice, they bring corn, they bring whatever they have. They would bring it up front. And that's what the pastor would have to eat for the week. Right? It was kind of interesting. But they would read this passage quite a bit. But as we look at it, we really kind of consider, what is it that God's getting at? He's getting at our heart. Right? He's getting at, what is it that we treasure? What is it that we think is important? And they're like, "How have we strayed from you, O Lord?" And he says here, "You've strayed from me in what you treasure, in what you think is important. Yes, you give, but it's begrudgingly. It's not with thanksgiving. It's not with joy. And you need to return. You need to repent. You are robbing God by what you treasure." By what you treasure. And so they say, how? And he says here, in tithes and offerings. There certainly is that thought of the material possessions that we have and giving a portion of that back to the Lord. And Israel was required, that there the law required that they give a portion. A tithe is often tied into that thought of a tenth. By the time you figure out everything they were to give and they were obligated to give, I think it comes up to more like 20% of their income. But that included taxes as well, and what they gave to the government, but it was all one, right? In Israel at that time, it was all kind of glummed on into one entity as far as giving to the temple, and the giving is all one thing. But here's this thing: it's like you're giving less than what's required. But certainly goes back to that thought issue of your tithes and offerings, and God's already dealt with the fact that they've given less than as far as quality. Of the sacrifices, they were giving lambs and goats and everything they were giving, it was lame. It was stuff that wasn't good. In fact, he asked them, if you offered this to your governor, how would he respond? He'd be offended. And he'd be offended by this. He wouldn't be happy with you. You would never offer. And so he says, like, that's the same with me. Like, what is it you're offering to me? And it goes back again to that heart of their reverence for God, their fear for God, their trust and their faith in God. And so they were unwilling to give everything that God required of them, everything that God asked of them, because they were treasuring the stuff and they wanted to hang on to it for themselves. They wanted to hang on to what was best. They wanted to hang on to more than what they were required to give. And it showed, it revealed what was important to them. It revealed their hearts. It revealed what they treasured. And their relationship with God was not the top priority, was it? And so God said, that's how you're robbing me. This is what's going on. And so God says, I am withholding blessing. Because of this, for the nation of Israel, I'm withholding blessing. You are cursed in this moment as a nation. You guys are struggling as a nation because of this. And so he says, give all, return to me, trust me, give everything that I ask of you and see if I will not bless you more than you could ever use or obtain or desire, and I will take care of you. It's an act of faith. But it goes back to the heart and it goes back to what to idolatry. What it is that we value and we love more than God. And so God says, test me. Right, test me. And he says here to the nation of Israel, he says, give generously, give with a grateful heart, and I will bless you more than I've ever blessed you. Now, I often hear this passage read, and I think is an attempt to manipulate God. Right? If you give more, God will bless you more. Right? Have you heard that? I think there's some preachers out there that preach that. I certainly have heard that before. And this thought of, right, if you just give, the more you give, the more. And there is, right, we know God and we know the character of God. And there certainly is that thought as we are willing to give more of ourselves and the more of our stuff to the Lord. He certainly takes care of us and he certainly is faithful to us. And he certainly blesses us in marvelous ways that we never expected. But it's not about manipulating God to get what we want. It's not about manipulating God to bless us more. If I give more, then God is required and is obligated to do this. No, it's not that at all. Again, it comes back to our heart. It comes back to our desire. And certainly as the Lord leads, as the Lord convicts, as the Lord says, we need to obey and we need to tithe and we need to give. And we do so not begrudgingly. Not out of obligation, but out of love and out of obedience. Certainly, the Lord does bless. And certainly, as His people, I think it is important that we do give a part of what God has blessed us with and of the increase He's given. I think it is important that we give part of that back to Him by giving to our church, by giving to missionaries, by giving to whatever God lays on our heart. So we have that thought of tithes and gifts here. And certainly a tithe is a tenth. So if you want to be legalistic and give a tenth, which I am, so I always give a tenth, right? Or try to. That's from the time that I started working as a young man that's kind of where my parents were like, you need to be doing this. So that's what I did. And I've tried to do that ever since. to give a tenth, but then there's the gifts which are above and beyond that. As God blesses them and God puts it in our hearts, and certainly it is a test of our faith. It is a test of, Lord, you've provided this. I want to bless others with what you've blessed me with, and being grateful for what he's given us. And so certainly giving is a test of our heart. It is. It's a test of where our faith is, a test of what truly do we treasure. And so as God tells the people of Israel, I will protect you, I will prosper you. All the other nations will be envious of you. They will call you blessed. They will delight in you. You will be successful. And so certainly I think we need to treasure that relationship with God. Right? That's where our hearts need to be. We need to treasure that relationship with God more than all our stuff. Hey, all that and everything that we have, right? Our relationship with God, that has to be the most important. That has to be the priority. And that's tested. It's tested with how much we give and what we give. And so we see here God calling them and revealing that to them, a heart that is treasuring not him, but their stuff. And he's calling them to repent. The next thing we see is a heart that treasures time. A heart that treasures time. Verse 13. It says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, why have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. So there's a lot, right? There's a lot of different things that we can treasure, that we can desire, that our heart might want. There's material things, status, praise, accomplishments. Some people leaving a legacy, right? Being remembered. They don't want people to forget that they existed. That's really important to them. Almost an idol to many. There's a lot of different things that we can treasure and desire. But when we boil it all down to, we come up, I think, to these two elements that God addresses here. It is the material stuff and time. Right? Time. Time is one of those elements that certainly we have, and it's a resource, but it's limited. Right? It's limited. And everyone, you can't buy it, you can't trade for it, you can't get more of it. It is what it is. It's time. And so God addresses that thought here of how we use our time, and we have no idea how much we have. But we exchange it. Right? We exchange time. We spend time doing different things, accomplishing different things. Relationships take time. Right? So we exchange time for stuff. We exchange time for influence. We exchange time in our relationships and different things like that. So that, right, those take time. It's a resource. And it certainly can become an idol. I think we certainly see that within our society, especially with entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment. But if that's the priority, if that's what we want to spend our time and our treasure on, it certainly becomes an idol. And so the people here were claiming that it's not worth your time to serve God. That it's a waste of your life to serve God. That's what they're saying here. God says you're using harsh words. And certainly this is from a self-centered perspective, for sure. And so there's these harsh words, these strong words. The exact same Hebrew word for harsh is found in Joshua 1:9, where it says, be strong and of good courage. Right? Be strong of good courage. Right? So it depends on the context. I use that word strong. And certainly in the context here, God is using that as something that is strong against him, as being hateful against him. And again, we see throughout Malachi, we see God making these statements. He says, you are doing this. And every time they question God, right? Every time they doubt God, It's God. He doesn't lie. His character, when he says something, it is true. And yet every time they just, like, we don't believe you. And again, we see them, they question God. How, what are you talking about, Lord? How is it that you're doing this? Because he says, look, what you're saying there's no prophet. It's not worth serving God. There's no guaranteed benefit for serving God. He said, look, we've served God. Our ancestors served God. And look at where we're at. We have sacrificed. We have suffered as the people of God. We've lived as mourners before God. And it's not fair. It's not fair because we see others who don't even know God. We see people who despise God. We see people who curse God to his face and mock God. And they prosper. They're blessed. They're successful. And it's as if God is allowing them to go free. Here's the thing. Again, that's a worldly perspective. It's a worldly thought of what success is and what's important. So God's saying, look, how do you treasure your time? Here's the thing. When we choose to follow God, right, when we make that decision, everything we own, everything that we are, all the time that we have left on this earth is completely at his disposal. It's his. It's his. So who are we to begrudge the treasure and the success and the fame that is just for a little short time? Just a little short time that people have on this earth. I don't. All that fame, fortune, it's for a short time. It's not very long. Our perspective is to be eternal. And so here's the thing. We look forward to eternity. We look forward to a time where there will be limitless wealth. And when you have limitless wealth, is it really treasure? Right? When everyone has limitless wealth, how does that work? Right, but that, right, in eternity, that's what we have. We have limitless stuff. We'll have limitless time. It blows my mind. I don't know how that works. We will still live within time. We are not God. We can't live and exist. God has created us to exist within time and to live out our lives within time. And so it will be in the new heaven and new earth, but there will be no end. Be forever. And so we look forward to that. And then certainly I think that puts life into a perspective that everything that is here now is very, very temporary. And yet there are consequences. For the things that we do in this life, there are consequences that last for eternity. There are. Whether we reject Christ or we accept Christ affects the eternal state of our soul and the future place that our soul will spend eternity depends on whether we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ or not. Whether we've accepted Jesus Christ or we haven't accepted Jesus Christ. There are eternal consequences. How we have lived our life certainly has consequences to it. Our works will be judged. We're told as believers, even as believers, that our works will be lit on fire. We'll be judged with fire. And that which is gold and silver will remain, and the hay, wood, stubble will all be burned up, and yet there will be a reward. But so there are, right, there's consequences for how we live our lives here now in obedience and in righteousness as we live for Christ. If that's our identity and that's who we are we living it? Right? There's consequences there. But we have this eternal perspective. And so that brings us then to our last point here. A heart that God treasures. A heart that God treasures. Verse 16. It says, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So here's the assurance that God gives to us, that God gives to His people. He knows. He knows. And He has a book. It says here, a book of remembrance. It's recorded for us. He will not forget. God knows those who truly fear Him. And those who truly love Him. And those who truly have a reverence for Him. And those who meditate and glorify His name. He knows. God is able to discern our hearts. And there is no greater treasure than serving Him. And so God here, we see here, God treasures people. He treasures a heart that loves Him and desires to serve Him. And so God says there's a certain day. On that day, there will be a day of accounting. There'll be a day when the books are closed. And everything is reconciled. And everything's tallied up. And it says here on that day, those who are righteous, right? God will remember that. Again, God treasures His people. They're like jewels. They're like treasure. And He will spare them in the midst of judgment. Because there will be a day of judgment. But His people will be spared. As a father spares, as a father shows mercy, shows favoritism to an obedient son. Why don't you think about that for a moment? The obedient son is Jesus. And who is it that are spared? Those who have Jesus. Right? Those whose lives, who Jesus has been applied to their lives, His righteousness has been applied to their lives. They will be spared in the day of judgment. So we see this day of discernment. We see this day of distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Jesus talked about this quite a bit. He gave different parables. He gave the one about the wheat and the tares. Right? Tares are a weed. Kind of look like weed as they come up. But as they develop, you realize, there's a bunch of weeds. And so Jesus gave this parable and said this guy had this field and he planted wheat and his enemy went and planted a bunch of weeds. So the servant said, "Should we pull the weeds?" And he said, "No, leave them." And so certainly in this life, the righteous and the wicked dwell together. But there's coming a day of harvest. There's coming a day of judgment where they are separated out, and the only difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only difference. The blood of the Son, of the obedient Son, of the righteous Son. Those who have Jesus will be spared. And so we see this book, we see this remembrance, we see your heart. Here's what God treasures, here's what God loves. And so I want us to think about this. I want us to remember this, that you are loved. You are loved. You are treasured of God. You are so loved and treasured that God sent His only Son. He did not spare His Son. The judgment that we so rightly deserve. His Son died in our place. He was offered as a sacrifice for us so that we could be offered the gift of salvation. We cannot earn God's favor. We cannot earn eternal life. But we can accept God's gift of salvation. That we can do. And God freely offers it to anyone who will believe, who will trust in Jesus Christ. It is offered to any. And here's the other thing that we can do. And I think this passage speaks to this. Is we can train our hearts. We are always in this process. Our hearts desire different things. We are in this process of training. What is it that our hearts desire? What is it that our hearts love? We are always in this process of training our heart. And we need to be in the process of training our heart to treasure the things that God treasures. To love the things that God loves. To be willing to completely get rid of the hindrances, get rid of the things that distract us, get rid of the things that are just temporary here in this earth in order to seek and to know and to love Him. When we come to Christ, we're His. We totally belong to Him. Yes, He's blessed us with things. And yes, He's given us things in this life to enjoy, to experience. But we need to be careful. We have to be careful. What is it that our heart treasures? What is it that our heart loves? And if we are not spending time in the Word of God daily, you are not training your heart to love God. If you are not in prayer often and seeking Him and seeking to know Him, you are not training your heart to love the things of God. He's given us the tools. He's given us the things we need. And so as we think about the stuff and the things that we treasure and the things that we would hope not to lose, and we'd be very devastated if we lost them, what is it that God reveals about what we love, what we treasure? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You have not just left us here, but You reached out to us. You've communicated to us through Your Word and through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You have redeemed us, a people, Your people, Jew, Gentile, people from every nation, to be Yours. And so, Lord, I pray as Your people that we would desire to love the things that You love. Help us to see people and love people as You love people. Help us to seek a relationship with You more than anything else in this world. And Lord, as You have given us limited time, may we use that time to glorify and to make You known. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we close our service, let's stand. Let's sing our last song.